Greetings, everybody. It's that time of year. Of this particular time of year, anyway. Welcome to the Star Wars Report. Coming up on this episode, we're going to talk some celebration. Permit me a NASCAR yell, if you will, Bethany. For you guys in the South, that's the traditional stuff. We've got a lot of great stuff coming up on this episode. We're going to talk all about Celebration 5. We've got some new stories about a new film about the life of Peter Mayhew, known as Chewie. And some unfortunate news, some dire news about the Old Republic video game. It's all coming up, but what panels are we going to? The list has been announced, and I've been kind of out of it. We'll be talking about all that kind of stuff on this episode of the Star Wars Report, episode 51. Let's begin.
It's time to come together. It's up to you. What's your pleasure?
Hello, everybody. Well, after that that mildly awkward opening, I was distracted by the Cool in the Game Celebration YouTube video, I must confess. But yes, welcome to this episode, episode 51 of the Star Wars Report. Ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, I actually forgot the number again. But I have one person to thank for reminding me just as we began, and not having to re-record the intro, because I'm very determined not to do so. And that's my dear sister, Bethany Blanton, who I'm going to introduce first for a change. Because you always, Bethany, you said to me the other day, why do you always say the same thing every time? So, my diabolical sister, Bethany Blanton, welcome to the show.
Huh. Switching from dear to diabolicals is kind of a jump. But I'll take it.
Like, it's got the D sound. And I'm your host for this evening, Riley Blanton. So glad that you've joined us. We've got a special gentleman joining us. He's a writer for our website over at StarWarsReport.com. And I'm very glad that he's joining us. He'll see us in a mere 10 days as we record this at Celebration 6. Mr. Aaron Goins, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. I don't think I'll be able to match Mark's enthusiasm, but I am here.
Yeah. With Aaron, you can be you're calm and collected. You're kind of the anti Mark. I must say. He's you're like, hey guys, where Mark, you know, I think I got my NASCAR yell from Mark.
Yeah, he would have done the NASCAR yell. Big time.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, I've been mentioning it in the few episodes that we've done in recent summer weeks. I've talked about how busy I am, so I'm not going to just be a broken record and say, "Hey, Riley was at another summer activity and was busy," but I was. So, but yeah, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. But before we get into all the exciting celebration news, let's talk about some just two neat news stories that I wanted to highlight before we get into it. Bethany, you were kind enough to point these out to me. Mm-hmm. Number one. We'll start it off on a downer, because why not? The Old Republic actually sinks to less than 1 million subscribers. This is actually computervideogames.com article from 2 weeks ago or so. So I was missing this. I was at... All right, I'll keep the story short. All right, I was at... You knew this was coming.
I was glaring at him.
You knew this was coming. All right, this time... This is my last summer activity, I promise. This time I was at COS, Cadet Officer School, over at Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery, Alabama. 10 days of leadership training with some of the best Air Force officers out there, training CAP cadets in the art and science of leadership in the context of military training. A lot of great guest speakers, a lot of really interesting things, a lot of Star Wars references, believe it or not, in today's youth. There are 120 cadets between the ages of 16 and 20, and we all pulled together from around the United States, and so some fun times were had by all, but there was actually, in the big seminar room, where the big auditorium where we'd have our guest speaker, they would play a little bit of hold music between sessions, and one of the times they were doing the Cantina Band, and a good half of those cadets between 16 and 20 were rocking out to the Cantina Band. It's just a reminder of Star Wars's cult, Star Wars's, the Star Wars possessive form. But a reminder of the cultural impact that it still has today. And I always kind of smile because it's times like that when I'm in the civilian world, which I find hilarious that I'm calling it that because it's at Maxwell Air Force Base being trained by military instructors. But the Star Wars version of the civilian world where they don't know. And it's when a cadet says, hey, you ever seen Star Wars? You remember that scene where Greedo and does the one thing? And I'm just smiling and say, kid, you have no idea who I am. So, but yeah, that's where I have been for the past 10 days. And I just literally, 8 hours ago, I was driving out of Maxwell Air Force Base. And here I am in the Atlanta annex of the Star Wars Report recording studio talking about some of the latest news. So back to the Old Republic. This happened while I was gone, missed this story, and Bethany pointed this out to me, and it's an unfortunate reality, but it does seem that it's not the only thing. The game also basically went, for lack, there are different definitions of the term, but it went free to play.
Which I think that's pretty neat, actually.
Yeah, this is basically, it was confirmed during an investor call. An EA representative said the game needed $500,000 to break even, so it's still evidently financially viable. But it does seem to be declining in terms of the game. Are you much of an Old Republic guy at all, Aaron?
I'm not. I would like to be, but time, like that kind of time, I just don't have anymore.
Yeah.
Plus the computer, I guess, like all I really have is a laptop, and I don't think that would be powerful enough to really run the game. But the game looks really cool to me. I would love to play it.
Yeah. Same here. I've been home a total, I think I calculated it, less than the 17 or 18 days total this summer. So you guys are lucky the amount of podcast episodes you have gotten. I'm just saying. No. But so that's the amount of time I've been home this summer. So Old Republic, not exactly in the cards for me. But yeah, basically it's you can play it for free up to level 50. And I do not know the amount of levels, but for the Old Republic players out there, I don't know. It's kind of disappointing to see something that had this much hype behind it kind of lose some momentum. It's unfortunate, but I think it was inevitable with the current way the gaming market is. And I'm not the hugest gamer, but I do know enough about it to say that this is probably not what EA was hoping.
Well, so do we know, like, has it been getting good reviews from players, or is that part of the problem?
You know, I don't think so. It's everywhere I've seen, it's gotten solid reviews. Now, it had, other than the bugs I think it had in the opening week or two, I think the people who do play it and who are interested in that have really enjoyed it from what I know. What I'd be interested to know is that I know a lot of our listeners play The Old Republic, and we've talked about it at length as to why it doesn't seem to be quite as impactful as other Star Wars properties. I don't think it's had nearly the impact that Knights of the Old Republic had. And I wasn't even present or aware of the current Star Wars franchise as it is today when the Knights of the Old Republic video games were coming out. But I still knew a lot about them once I started getting interested in the Star Wars internet presence. So I don't think it's as impactful.
I have a question. Do you think that part of the reason that it's gone partially free-to-play is because of the loss in subscribers? And then secondarily, do you think going free-to-play will actually help the game itself create more revenue?
Yeah, I could see that. Because, well, Lord of the Rings Online did that and very successfully. So it may not be a purely bad sign. As long as and I imagine that number, if it's an investor call, it's not a press conference. They're not really going to spin it because they're their investors. And you really don't want to lie to your investors.
Yeah.
So when he quotes that 500,000 number, I could see that happening. But I just remember seeing the Hope trailer, the Deceived trailer, and just the splash it made in the entire internet, and it just seems like we are pretty far removed from that time. It's unfortunate, and I think if this were just a Blur Studios production that was airing on a network television station and a weekly show, I'd be all over this, and I think a ton of people would. It's just the format. MMOs just aren't the medium to have that large scale cultural impact that Star Wars usually has, and that's my opinion. What's yours? Send us an email, StarWarsReport@gmail.com, especially if you're the Old Republic player, because I don't play it, so I'm just kind of running my mouth here. But, yeah.
Well, I did play some of the free trial that we got, I don't remember exactly what it was called, but you got
the
free
beta.
Yeah, we played in the beta version some, and it seemed quite neat then, though we were having a little bit of trouble with our computer keeping up with the game.
Yep.
But yeah, it was quite interesting, seemed to work really well, and I don't know, I guess in a way it seems like the MMO market overall isn't doing as well.
Yeah. I could see that.
I've never really been into MMOs. You know, it's almost too much commitment for me. I like a game that I can start and play it for like a week, beat it, and move on to the next game. So these type of games are just, it's not really my type of thing. I mean, I would try it for a little bit. I played Star Wars Galaxies, I don't know, for like 3 days and tried that out. But it's just not, I think a lot of people, you know, it's just not their type of game. But for the people that do enjoy those type of games, you know, I think this game, from what I hear, is pretty good. But maybe it just doesn't match up to something like, you know, World of Warcraft or something like that.
Yeah. When I think World of Warcraft has such a built-in audience already that, in a way, those people would stick to playing that game. So, in a way, I think it might be hard to break into the market, so to speak.
Because if you've been playing World of Warcraft for years and you've built up, you know, a character to a certain level, and then all of a sudden Star Wars comes out with a game, you know, you're going to be pretty hesitant to leave all of that behind and start fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
And I know the Final Fantasy MMO that came out a while ago, Final Fantasy 14, did not do well. It may be doing better now, but I know when it first came out, it had a lot of bad reviews. They rushed to get it out. There were a ton of glitches in the game, and I think it may have gone free to play as well. I'm not sure, but I know it came out.
MMO?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, something that I'm much more personally excited about, Fanboys director Kyle Newman, you probably never heard of him, is developing Chewie. A film about Star Wars actor Peter Mayhew. In fact, it's one of the notable scripts from last year's, the 2011 blacklist of Hollywood's best unproduced screenplays. It's kind of a list of screenplays that were up there, but that different directors and studios chose not to, but are one of the better ones. So, obviously this is popular because it's Star Wars, so I think that's one of the reasons it has interest. But it's described as a satirical behind-the-scenes look at the making of Star Wars through the eyes of Peter Mayhew, the 7'3" actor who maintained his job as a hospital worker while he played Chewbacca. And so Peter Mayhew, what was it, last week? Week before, he tweeted it out that and confirmed that, yes, he is indeed working with Kyle Newman and the team on Chewie.
Hmm.
So are they going to be able to find a 7'3" actor to play Peter Mayhew?
That's actually what I was thinking of.
Or are they going to just do a lot of trick picture where, kind of like they did in Lord of the Rings, to make Gandalf look way taller than he really was?
I imagine that you could go either way, but finding a 7'3" actor who isn't actually Peter Mayhew himself to portray Peter Mayhew might be kind of difficult.
Well, and the biggest thing I think is that everyone immediately jumps to, who's going to play Mark Hamill? Who's going to play Carrie Fisher? Who's going to play George Lucas? Can you imagine?
Do you think they could tell the story in a way, though, that they wouldn't necessarily have to show all of those characters?
Oh, yeah. Like I could see a silhouette of the beard of George Lucas. I could see that. I think I'm personally very fascinated with the idea of this film because the saga of Fanboys, man, when I first became involved in the Star Wars online community and even became aware that there were people who liked Star Wars and talked about it on the internet, it was around early 2007, I guess it was. And that was in the middle of when I heard about this Fanboys movie. And I was wondering, what is this? And that's where I first heard about Kyle Newman and his involvement with the Star Wars fan community. And that there's that just huge and long process where they're trying to get it made. Have you seen Fanboys by any chance? I've actually not had the opportunity to. Have you seen it?
You've never seen it?
No, I'm afraid not.
Yeah, actually, I was really excited about that movie and talked a bunch of my friends into going with me to the theater to watch it. And, you know, it didn't. I don't think it did too well in the box office, but for Star Wars fans, I think it's a great movie. I would definitely recommend checking it out.
Okay, so would you say that's because they're screening it at Celebration?
They are. I'm not going to watch it at Celebration just because it conflicts with the Ian McDiarmid panel.
You mean there are things that conflict with other things at a Celebration?
we'll get to that.
Exactly. Yes. More on that in just a minute. But yeah, it's Mayhew, the fact that he's involved is actually pretty cool. But I think this would have a lot of potential, and there's a lot of ways that you could approach this. But the fact that they say satirical, I like that kind of comedic edge. And I know that Fanboys was definitely a comedy. Did it kind of have one thing I liked about Fanboys from what I heard is that it just really had a sense of heart alongside the comedy. And I think someone like Peter Mayhew at the center of a story could really help move that along. And I think some of the best dramas on film have a comedic aspect to it, even in Star Wars.
Yeah, I hope Kyle Newman can get the right backing and get enough money behind it so he can really make a quality, you know, film. You know, I hope it's not something that ends up being really low budget. Like, if it'd be great if he could get a big time company behind him and really put a lot of money into this and get some good actors and just make it into like a really great film.
Yeah, is this unprecedented? I'm trying to think if there's a movie. I remember Fanboys, a movie about trying to go see a movie, seemed to me an odd thing for Hollywood. But you know, it was like you said, it wasn't a blockbuster by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm sure it was profitable because it wasn't the most expensive film in the world. So I it'd be interesting. I don't know if there's ever been a movie about the making of a famous movie. I'm racking my brains trying to think of an example, and none come to mind.
I'm sure there has been. I'm not a big. I mean, I love movies, but I'm not a big enough movie buff to pull that one out. But yeah, I'm sure there has been. But this is definitely something different than what's popular right now.
Yeah, I know. It's not another popular teen novel series being adapted into multiple films per book.
Yeah, there's actually a couple movies I've seen recently that are about filmmaking. I'm trying to think of the names of them now. one's called Hugo. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yes, that's a fantastic film.
That's got a lot about filmmaking in that. And then also the black and white movie that they did that was kind of
the
silent film.
Yeah, and of course it was on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah. Yeah, for whatever reason, I can't think of that title, but it's, you know, it won, like, I think it won Best Picture, didn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. It won one of the awards, and so I'm curious. I'm actually trying to find it.
But that was also, you know, about, you know, a movie about making movies. So, yeah, there are movies being made like that, but I think this is a little bit different since it's actually based on a real movie that was made as opposed to those being fictional.
Yes. Yeah. And they did use footage of some really old footage of early films, but Hugo was fantastic. You know, I've really become more, you know, I haven't had a lot of time, but I have seen one or two we have a chance to see one or two films this summer, which is nice. We saw Avengers at the beginning of the summer and then Spider-Man and Batman. I'm just realizing how many superhero movies there are out there right now. But the most recent Batman film we had the opportunity to see before Cadet Officer School, a few days before I left, and that was a fantastic film, I'll tell you. But it was really a very long form. It was 2 hours 45 minutes. It was long, but
it was quite long.
It blazed through, and I liked that kind of storytelling because some of the best storytelling people say is on television, and I think that's because television is the medium to really explore characters in much greater depth because you have more time. I don't know how many times I've heard people talk about how it's unfortunate the Clone Wars only has 22 minutes. 22 minutes to tell little segmented stories, which is unfortunately not a lot. But, that was a long tangent. So, yeah, long and short of it, I am certainly very excited about the prospects of this, and I really hope to run into Kyle Newman at some point during Celebration and try to plead and beg. I'm sure I won't be the only one.
He's
a really nice guy in person, so I'm sure he'll talk to you if you get a chance.
Oh, good, because there's always a handful where I'm not sure about how to approach them as to whether or not they'll say yes or no. But it's interesting. I've mentioned this on podcasts before, and we'll get into Celebration stuff next. But Bethany and I'm very outgoing on mic and in person in social environments. But when it comes to doing interviews, Bethany is much better at getting interviews and interacting with people. I will be very honest. Beth will say, I'll say, well, maybe we shouldn't walk. They look busy now. We'll come back later when they're at their table. There's only one person standing there. And Bethany's like, oh, come on. What's the worst thing they're going to say? No? Yes, exactly. My point exactly. but speaking of which, Celebration. Woohoo! I am now that the summer activities are behind me, and now that I've been to combat engineering and special forces training and a business academy and now finally cadet officer school, my summer has blazed through. And then on the horizon, the light at the end of the tunnel is not a train. It is, in fact, an X-Wing swooping through and it'll kill us all. Run. No, it's the Celebration schedule, which was finally released. You poor people who are waiting for it so long, intently refreshing the page.
So many people online, too, are like, I wonder if the schedule's up now during lunch break. I wonder if the schedule's up yet.
Not yet.
And then it would be, when's the schedule coming?
So we'll take the next couple minutes, the next little bit before we close out the show, to take a look at the schedule. Now, just to give folks a warning, this is Bethany and my first chance to take a close look at it. Mm-hmm. Mr. Goins has done this remarkably awesome Google Doc, where he's outlined all the panels in a beautiful timeline, and I'm looking at it in front of my computer, and I'm just amazed at how far technology's come since I came back. What is this Google Doc thing? But it's great. So I'm just opening it up to Thursday. Bethany, you can pull up the one as well. I know, Aaron, you've got it highlighted. And we will go through these panels and just highlight the ones that we're talking about. We'll talk about the ones you're going to, Aaron, and some of our plans for coverage of Celebration. We're definitely wanting to bring our experience to the listeners of the Star Wars Report podcast. We will be media. We do have the fancy schmancy badges, ideally. I hope we still have those, right, Bethany? Have they revoked them yet?
We still have them.
Okay, good. Checking.
You're just supposed to pick them up once you get there because they want to verify your ID.
Or will they make us do it Thursday?
You can do that Wednesday night, and that always makes me nervous because everybody else has their badges in hand right now, but we have to wait to pick ours up. So it's like you get there, and you just hope that everything goes smoothly.
There's a couple things in the works that are still secret that we're working on. I say secret. They're not really secret as much as we're still trying to figure it out what on earth we're going to do with them. But there are some exciting things that are still underway. But most of the stuff we can announce as far as what we're doing at Celebration and where you can find us. But we'll go through it in kind of chronological order as we go. And again, guys, we're not going to be able to go through all the panels, but just highlight some of the ones that we're interested in and we'll probably go to and what we're most excited about for Star Wars Celebration. I'm going to start. The first one is Inside Clone Wars Tech, which you mentioned you're going to, Aaron. There's also StarWars.com and beyond. Bottled Water in a Plan, Maximize Your Celebration Experience, which is something that Bethany and I attended at C5. Mm-hmm. That's done by the Star Wars Action News guys.
I was there as well, so we were in the same room.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
You're kidding.
I think during that whole convention, we must have been at a lot of the same panels and stuff and never knew it.
Let me just say at the beginning here, that's one thing I'm looking forward to changing is stop being in the same room with everyone but not knowing them or meeting them. And so that's one thing I'm super excited about is knowing Aaron, Steve Glosson being there, the Forcecast guys and fans that we've come to know from fan days, all these people that we've met that we're going to be able to meet and talk to in person and know ahead
Nancy
of time.
And Brian from Tashi Station are going to be there.
That's
so.
Right. Yeah, we met. Got to have a lot of fun with them at Dragon Con last year. And I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to Dragon Con's looking pretty awesome this year too. But that's for another episode. Let's stay on target. Star Wars 1313 is something I'm certainly very interested in.
Same here. It's as if there's a lot of buzz going around it, but I still don't really have it cemented in my head. What is Star Wars 1313?
Yeah.
It's a collection of numbers so far.
Well, they're so early on right now in the production of it. I don't know how much they're going to actually have to show.
Yeah,
but
that too.
They have two different panels. It's probably a duplicate of the same type of information that's going to be in both.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually, there's too much conflicting with both of them that I don't think I'm going to even be able to make that panel.
Yeah, yeah. There's also, because I see you have the Dark Horse Comics one, A Look Ahead, which is what I'm sure Mark would be interested in. And
then James Luceno with his writing workshop would probably be pretty cool to attend that. I mean, I'm not an aspiring novelist or anything, but it'd be cool just to hear him talk about his processes and stuff.
Yeah, and also they got at that time around that time is the Forcecast live show, and I want to show up to that because I'll tell you what, as far as Star Wars podcasts go, I listen to a bunch of them, and we are by no means in any kind of competition with anybody. We're just, in fact, the Star Wars Report is kind of your unofficial, the little guys bringing you the fan experience. I'll be frankly honest. We're not doing any kind of wall-to-wall coverage, but I'll tell you who does. They do, whether it's Fan Days or Celebration, the last five, they do amazing live shows. And
yes, they do.
The crowds, it's awesome. So I would love to show up.
We were at their live shows for C5 and also at Fan Days, and both were a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. But like you say, Aaron, there are a number of items that do conflict. Man, I'm sensing a trend here. also, Bullied, What Every Parent, Teacher, and Kid Needs to Know. And I that's featuring Ashley Eckstein and the mom of Katie the Star Wars Girl, who has a book coming out about that subject, which I'm actually fairly interested in that just because that's a subject I find fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Star Wars in 60 Minutes, which is the exact same time as that.
No.
But then you have to think, if you look a little bit ahead there, you see it's the Ian McDiarmid panel on the Celebration stage.
Yep.
So if you want to make it into that panel, you're probably going to have to get in line early enough that you would miss both the Bullied and the Star Wars in 60 Minutes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of choices to make, because then it's like, well, do I wait in line for an hour to get into this big panel, or do I skip the big panel and hit a couple small ones?
Yeah. And that's really, you have to make that choice. That's what we learned last time. Because
how long did we wait in line for the Mark Hamill panel at C5?
About 40 to 45 minutes, if I remember correctly. It's not terrible.
I think it may have been a little closer to an hour, because I know that our mom was coming to that panel as well, but she hadn't arrived at the convention.
By the way, I just have to say, bless her soul. Our dear mother wanted to travel with us, and we kind of made it into a mini family vacation and went on to Juno Beach and then also visited NASA the next week. You know, some people go to Disney. Riley, we all want to go to NASA. That's kind of our deal. But that was what we did 2 years ago at Celebration 5, and I have to really publicly, or at least semi-publicly, say here on the podcast that she's awesome for putting up with us and staying at the hotel while we went to all of our Star Wars panels and hung out with all of our Star Wars friends. That was awesome. We'll be doing that again this year. So it's kind of following a tradition while it's in Orlando and in sunny Florida. But yeah, you've got, let's see, where were we? Ian McDiarmid. Let's see. I'm definitely hitting that if I possibly can.
Yes.
What an intelligent, articulate, experienced Shakespearean actor. That was a lot of descriptive factors, but yes, it's all true. He is I want to see that, and I have a feeling that will be pretty competitive.
Yeah, so I would really like to see that as well, just because I've never actually seen or met or heard Ian McDiarmid in person, whereas I have now with Celebration, seeing Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, George Lucas, and a lot of the other actors and people involved
in the movies. George is there.
Me too.
It would be nice.
That would be fun.
Yes. I do a terrible George Lucas voice. That was terrible. Yeah. All right. But wow, Bullied. That's one I'm interested in. Stars in 60 Minutes has also looked pretty good. Phantom Menace, and then the Timothy Zahn retrospective. Looks like you'll be going to that area.
And any panel with Timothy Zahn on it is fun.
That he man is entertaining.
Yes, he is. He is a lot of fun, and he's really nice, too.
And something that's happening that evening, they are continuing, and I'm so glad they're doing this, are the episode screenings. And episode one will be a 3D version, if I remember correctly, from the from the announcement on the website.
They also have the TFN party
that evening. I'm definitely going to catch some of the movies on the big screen, because that's a great way. You know, it's kind of all of the Star Wars fans, it's kind of like therapy after your long day at the convention. You're just going to sit back and relax. You know, some people.
And they're doing Clone Wars screenings as well.
Oh, yeah. They're running Clone Wars screenings throughout the day.
Oh,
yeah.
I've forgotten that.
I missed that. Yeah, definitely.
We start early enough to eat.
We need to go take the food into a Clone Wars screening, if they allow that. I'm not sure
if they allow anybody. Wow. So that's Thursday. Wow. I'm now extremely excited. All right. So let's jump on Friday. Wait for it. It's Friday.
Oh, come on.
I wish this was a video podcast. You need to see Bethany's look on. Okay. You know, the Clone Wars Theater Bounty Hunter Day. Bounty Hunter. They're featuring all the Bounty Hunter episodes. Starting off, what's next from Del Rey? And also conflicting was that is another edition of the Star Wars 1313 panel.
Just as a quick thing, starting with Aaron, what do you think is next from Del Rey?
Well, it seems like they announced just about everything at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
With, what's the name of that book? I keep blanking on titles. By the way, that movie we were thinking about was called The Artist. But
thank you.
That was a while ago.
See, and then we'll come up with the name of the book in about 10 minutes.
Crucible, I think is what it's called.
That's
but,
right. With the future continuing stories of the aging.
Yeah. Han, Luke, and Leia, but I think that book's going to be good. I'm looking forward to that one, and I hope they talk a little bit more about that in this panel. I'm really hoping they announce the Paul Kemp duology. Mm-hmm. That one's kind of been real hush-hush, and so maybe that's what they're saving up for the big announcement of that, because I can't think of any other books that they haven't already announced. Maybe that's it, but Paul Kemp's not even attending Celebration 6, so you would think if they were announcing his duology that they'd have him here.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm hoping to have you, and Aaron, I'll just take this opportunity to immediately and without offering you any chance to stop and consider, I would love for you to be especially our go-to, because if we're not able to go to that panel, or if we split up panels, I would love to tie you and some of the other Star Wars Report people that we have at Celebration, and we'll just give out the login to our Twitter. No, not you, listeners. but that way we can tweet simultaneously to one account from multiple panels for people wanting to follow along, and maybe do a hashtag for what, you know, who's tweeting from what panel. And you know, so that it's not. And then the Republic Commandos were revealed in the upcoming video game Star Wars 1313. Wait, what?
Meanwhile,
Timothy Zahn.
That would be funny.
Star Wars Report overload.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would love to figure out. We still have to do some networking and social media planning for figuring out how we want to do the best social media coverage. And you are a man of a smartphone, I know, as most people other than me are, evidently. So that would be awesome if we can get some live social media coverage. But again, we're not trying to Star Wars Report. We're not going to try to out cover everyone. We're not going to do live tweet by tweet beat everybody to the story. It's not going to be that as much as just kind of bringing you guys the experience from the floor. And that's one thing I think we can do really well. And that's something that I think will actually help take a load off our minds and actually bring the experience more. Because I noticed it's easy, especially at Dragon Con last year when we were doing it. We did those daily shows. It's easy to, and frankly, all the interviews, it's easy to get too caught up in trying to cover it for everyone else, and then you don't really experience it for yourself, which kind of defeats the purpose for the people listening.
For us, Dragon Con last year was frankly exhausting, partly because we were staying about 40 minutes away at our own house. So that's a bit of a commute each day.
Just a little.
And secondarily, we did do daily podcasts, but we were also doing 2, sometimes 3 and 4 interviews a day.
Yep.
And that got pretty exhausting as well, just because it puts you on the spot. You're in a you're in front of a bunch of people. You have the actor's watchdog, excuse me, handler standing there staring at you the whole time.
I'm convinced that if you do an interview and you start going over 8 minutes, you know, 5 days, they say, oh, just do about 5 minutes. And usually most people are willing to. They say, well, just come back at such and such a time. I'm usually not too busy. We'll just step out for 5 minutes. And say, okay, deal. So we talked to Sam Witwer, and Sam Witwer comes outside with us. This is a true story, by the way. I'm convinced his handler is going to start barking at about 8 minutes into the interview. Like, bark, get back inside, get back inside. Anyway, those guys, they're volunteers. Bless their souls for putting up with the likes of us trying to interview their celebrities all day.
Well, the thing is, we were usually very careful first. When we would ask someone, we would try to be very polite about it.
No, when we would ask someone, Bethany would ask them. Way more convincing person than I am.
Well, as long as you were the one who headed up the interview, because you're an actual better interviewer than I am.
It's a good trade-off. I can ask questions. You can ask follow-up questions well, and you can actually talk to the intimidating watchdogs. I mean, handlers.
Well,
as you said.
Most of the volunteers at conventions are really nice people who are there. They honestly want to help, and their job is a hard one. If you think a convention is difficult on you as a fan, it's that much harder for people like us who are covering it, but it's that much harder for the volunteers who are constantly doing that. And actually, Aaron, you have some experience volunteering at conventions. Would you care to add anything to this?
I did volunteer, but it was just for one day, and I got the lucky assignment of just sitting at one of the celebrity tables and helping him collect his money for his autographs. So that was I think that's one of the more cushy volunteer jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I got lucky because that's the first time I've ever volunteered, and they were nice enough to give me the easy job. So that part of it was awesome. Now, if you had to stand behind a line and make sure people are lining up correctly, or guard a door all day, I give those guys credit, because I don't think I could do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do you have a badge? You need to buy a badge. No, you can't go, sir, buy a badge. You have to.
The volunteers are the ones who, when there are problems, they wind up dealing with them. For instance, at Dragon Con, security are volunteers, so you're dealing with people who
Dragon Con needs to hire actual security.
Well, that would make it better legally, because I know because if you're volunteer but you're also security, you're really limited.
That's a fuzzy line, because volunteers can't really take good measurable steps, and when especially Dragon Con,
the drunk guy decide to start doing something.
Frankly, Dragon Con can be seedy, and whenever you have 60,000 people, if it were a sports game, the same thing happens at night on the streets, where you just have the unfortunate, how do I say this politically correct?
You always have one person out there who's going to try and
spoil it. Spoil it. That's a good term. Who's out to just goof around and make everyone else's lives miserable and misbehave. Because they're miscreants. That's a good name. Is that politically correct? Can I call people miscreants? Do people know what miscreant means anymore?
No idea.
1800s terminology. Forsooth, sir. Withhold thy badge.
We're gonna have,
you miscreant.
I don't think we'll have too many miscreants at Celebration, though. Because
that's nice, yeah.
It's all Star Wars fans, and all Star Wars fans are classy. So
for the most part, yeah.
We'll be good.
Yeah, yeah. Except for that guy who emailed us last month. No, I'm kidding. There's no one who emailed us last month. I'm getting depressed. We need some emails. Actually, let's see. So where were we? Wow, that was Friday.
Yeah, we're
no
on Friday.
Song.
I'm not gonna sing. I won't
no
sing. I won't
song.
I won't sing. Okay. So we have What's New from Del Rey that you'll be handing to Star Wars. The repeat of Star Wars 13. That's at 11:30. 11 o'clock, the super secret Star Wars panel with Todd, Seth, and Matt. Of course, course, Matt Sinreich and Seth Green. I would like to be there because I want to know what on earth this thing is and what on earth is taking them so long. So you can
and the
count
fact
on
that we know nothing about the show. I mean, if they're going to have a whole hour long panel about it, they better be bringing some kind of, I don't know, bring
picture,
a clip or something.
Audio.
Is it really called the Super
Dance
Secret Star Wars panel?
The Super Secret
yes.
Star Wars panel.
Oh, that is
Seth
hilarious.
That's got to be Seth Green's
I love
title.
That.
Tamara Morrison's also running around that time. Tamara Morrison,
oh,
awesome guy.
I'd love to see him again.
I'll
yeah.
just encourage people to go back to our website, StarWarsReport.com, and just go back to, now that we're talking about conventions and war stories, to go back to the archives and listen to our Dragon Con coverage of from last year, because that was, I'll tell you what, that was a blast, because we were there in the daytime when miscreants weren't roaming the earth. Anyway,
the word of the day.
Basically, we met and interviewed Tamara Morrison, and he is a fantastic guy. He's
yeah.
awesome.
So yeah, go back to the archives, StarWarsReport.com. The way our episodes work with iTunes, it only goes to the most recent 10, and we're at 51 now. So that's unfortunate. But let's jump through. We've got Marvel Comics Star Wars at that same time, Star Wars Lego panel, the Ralph McCoury retrospective, an hour with Anthony Daniels. And also at 2 o'clock, Inside the Force Cast, it's some interesting behind the scenes of that Star Wars podcast that looks fairly interesting. I'll tell you what, also at that time, an hour with Anthony Daniels, I really wish that I had gone from what I heard last time. I've still never been in a room, but he's evidently really entertaining. Decisions.
I think I'll probably hit at least the beginning of the Force Cast panel, but I might sneak out early. Because the Laying Down Tracks panel is actually run by Aaron Alston.
Aha.
Oh, okay.
So, writer of Seekill. So, I think that would be, I mean, you were talking about Tim Zahn doing a great panel. Aaron Alston's exactly the same way. He's very entertaining, funny guy. And I hate to miss that panel. So.
Yeah. You know what? I do have an Aaron Alston story. I'm trying to remember if I've told this before, an Aaron Alston war story from Dragon Con. I just remember it was Wednesday,
the
preview day.
It was episode 14. That's actually our interview episode from Dragon Con.
Oh, wow.
Star Wars Report episode 14.
14?
That's the one where we had the Ashley Eckstein, Sam Witwer, Sam Huntington, Tom Kane, and Tamara Morrison interviews are all on that one. And our other interviews from non-Star Wars people are on another episode.
Yeah, our Battlestar Galactica edition. That was fun. Oh, good times. Where was I? I lost my place.
Aaron Alston story.
Thank you. So it was Wednesday, the preview day, and we were looking around at the floor and trying to traverse between the different large hotels and get a general idea, find all the back secret, super secret ways. One of our daily episode coverages, we would just literally walk around the floor for 10 to 20 minutes and just talk. And it's terrible podcasting, but awesome podcasting in that you can't think straight and you can't entirely reliably trust what's going to come out of your mouth. But it's super fun because we would just live interview people and just pull them out of crowds and talk to them and say, "Hey, what's your name? Why are you at Dragon Con?" So that was fun. But at one point we found these dark back passageways through hotels that we could avoid the crowds quickly
those came
get from.
In so much handy. Listeners, if you are going to Dragon Con, try
email
to
us.
Yes.
We need the official Star Wars Report commando guide to how to get from floor 1 to floor 5 up a back stairway without waiting in line with 50 other people for the elevator. So, yeah. But we actually podcasted through that, and you can hear, if you listen to that episode, you can hear the echo as we go, and it sounds like you hear the crowds, the door shuts, silence, and the echo, and you're like, are we imprisoned or something?
I remember listening to those and thinking, they sound like they're in a stairwell.
And we were indeed in a stairwell. Oh, that was fun. Good times. Wow, I just realized I'm going to make this show like 2 hours. All right, well, down to business. Let's get serious, Riley. Hour with Anthony Daniels, Forcecast, and then, of course, starting at 4 o'clock, the Clone Wars Season 5 red carpet premiere. Bethany and I will be there, and I'm so glad to see, because I was under the false impression, evidently, that Mark Hamill was conflicting. I don't know why I was thinking that, but I see in your schedule here he is not, which makes me super happy. So Bethany and I will be there. We'll be covering the event. We're actually have let me look at my episode timer. We're 45 mm-hmm. minutes into this episode, and 48 minutes ago we got an update of some things that we'll be able to do at the premiere. Mm-hmm. Details to come soon.
Actually, if you're talking about the news that I gave you, you should probably keep that to yourself till the next episode.
That's why I said news to come soon.
Okay.
Make a deep, dark secret. No, don't worry. You should calm down. Calm down. I got this. I got this. Podcasting professional here. I know what I'm doing, I think. Bethany's looking at me skeptically.
Very skeptically.
All right. But that, oh my, season, a whole Clone Wars episode.
Oh, it's going
to
be
looking
so much
forward
fun.
To it. And they're, of course, preceding it with the Savage Opress parts. Of course, there's the planning your Star Wars wedding conflicts with it.
Well, all we have to do is ask a new writer for us, Teresa Delgado, because she had a really awesome wedding at Disney that also involved some
kind
Star
of thematic.
Wars elements. Yeah.
We've got this deal is getting worse all the time as well. What else? We also have a tribute to another edition of Star Wars in 60 Minutes. And then, of course, Mark Hamill at 7:30. Believe me, we will be there. Mark Hamill interviewed by the one and only James Arnold Taylor. Epic.
Mark Hamill
the
is a classy
party.
Guy.
Can Bethany and I get in? I don't think we can.
Actually, you can order tickets for it. Anyone can order
I think they're sold out.
Sold out.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I do have a ticket.
You
so
dog.
Maybe I can sneak you guys in the back door.
Oh, goodness. Now they're going to watch you. You're going to have the stormtrooper
just
following you around.
I just announced it, so never mind about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, Aaron will not be able to escort us over and not be able to make some secretive copies of his ticket and not be able to sneak us through the back door where no one will see us. None of that will happen.
Yeah. I went to buy my ticket. And they were sold out, so I had a couple of friends on Twitter pull a few strings, and luckily I was able to grab a ticket. So
now just shut up now. I'm just this is what I get for being gone all summer.
Yep.
All right, we're going to jump into the big day, Saturday, and then we'll do Sunday. But before we do, I want to thank our sponsors for this episode. Toy Hut. ToyHut.com is an awesome resource of Star Wars toys, and they will be at Celebration. They don't have a booth, but they'll be roaming the floors. Bethany and I will be meeting up with them, interviewing them. In fact, we're working out the details to do that, and talk to them. Our awesome sponsors, and really have been able to keep this show afloat, and not just. I'm not saying that just to be. You should go support them because they give us bunches and bunches of money. That's not how it works. But they have helped subsidize the cost of all the equipment and broadcasting stuff that mm-hmm. we bought, all the stuff we're talking on right now.
It is the reason that our voices do not grate in your ear.
Yeah, the reason you don't have the horrible Skype fuzz, as mm-hmm. I like to call it, that distorts the cheap microphones. And so we're able they've supported us a long time now. So please head over to toyhut.com. Remember, that's hut, as in the hoo, hoo. Kind of hut, and
what was that supposed to be?
I have no idea.
A Java laugh that you realized very quickly wasn't going well.
That exactly. I was about to do the whole thing, and then I realized, you know what, Riley, shut up right now. Shut up right now.
Just stop all your head.
You've already done the Rebecca Black song. You can't really sink lower. And then I realized I could. But yeah, so let's see. But yes, Toy Hut, excellent resource. They've got a huge selection of toys, and they're the biggest. I just saw this on their Facebook page, which I encourage you guys to head over and like. On their Facebook page, they're really the biggest supplier of Star Wars collectibles on Amazon, on the second-hand store. So you can check them out on their Amazon store, and also there they have a hotline on the website and a great selection of both vintage and modern Star Wars action figures and tons more. So do your collecting at Toy Hut, and click through. The best way to know is that they'll know you heard about them, from us if you click through the link in our show notes for episode 51 of the Star Wars Report. And we appreciate their continuing support and can't wait to talk to them at Celebration. So let's do it. The big day. It's Saturday, starting off with the Clone Wars with Dave Filoni and Joel Aaron. Check. Yay. We will be there. The future of Star Wars 3D at Celebration 6, Session 1. Now, this is... I'm confused. Aaron, I know there are a bunch of sessions. Are they repeats?
I think they're doing two sessions for Episode 1. Or is this...
So he says, see the future is obviously the...
Yeah, it's they're doing episode 2, so I guess they already have some of episode 2 done.
Yeah.
So they're going to preview some of it, so everybody gets a set of like collectible 3D glasses. And I think they're having back-to-back sessions, so if you missed the first one, you can go to the second one. But I think okay. It's just a duplicate.
Okay. Just double-checking. Okay, so you also at that time have Ben Burtt in the cutting room floor, which somehow actually... conflicts with both of them because of the way they stacked it in the time. Boo. This one disapproves. This one disapproves. Star Wars NASA science fiction science fact. That's kind of up my alley. I might have to check that out.
You know, Eric Geller is actually on the panel for that.
Oh, nice.
I think he's the one that actually organized it. So
I assume that means NASA will have a presence once again there. They probably have a booth like they did at C5.
Yeah, he was pretty disappointed that it conflicts with the Tim Zahn panel because he felt like that would be hard to pull people away from Tim Zahn to go to a NASA panel. But I'm sure there'll be enough people there interested to fill up that room.
Well, and it's a different kind of audience in a way.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not like you're trying to do two book things or something.
Yeah, and I'll definitely want to swing by the future of Star Wars 3D. Jumping ahead, we also have fan groups panel. Later in that day, we have behind the scenes of the audiobooks, but also Celebration 6 exclusive, The Smuggler's Gambit. Now, what is this, Aaron? You have it highlighted. I'm curious.
Okay, this is... I'm actually going to pull up the description here, but basically it is Kyle Newman. I guess he wrote this, I think.
Excellent. I'm pulling it up now. Yeah, I'm trying to find it on the official website.
So basically they're bringing together all these voice actors to do a live, like a live.
Is it like they did the other year at Fanton Days, the one before we did? I remember they did something like that at some point.
Yeah, maybe, but this is like a...
Somewhere
like
somebody did something, I swear it.
This is like original radio drama style, I guess. So they're going to do it live, and they have a lot of voice actors that are going to be doing it. Let me see some of the people. Dave Collins, Tom Kane, Ashley Eckstein, Matt Lanter, Dee Bradley Baker, Matthew Wood, Claire Grant, and Daniel Logan. They're going to be doing it live, and then Kyle Newman, I guess, wrote it. And... also, he directed it, and I guess it says featuring sounds by Jimmy Mack from the Force cast. So
okay, nice.
And so, I know I've heard David Collins do Han Solo before, and he does a really good Han Solo.
Oh
so
my
guess
goodness.
Is he will be Han Solo. So it should be pretty interesting if they do. Maybe Dee Bradley Baker could be Chewbacca, something like that. It should be interesting, and I guess, you know, it's a Star Wars story, so maybe it's even canon. Who knows?
If it has that amount of talent in it, I think it needs some kind of canonization.
Yeah, but this one looks really cool. I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Bethany, I just had an idea. All right. Now, this is something you usually shouldn't do on air during the podcast, but this just occurred to me. We should totally, whenever a canonical debate, we have our Jar Jar panic. Of course, that soundbite.
Yeah.
I'm sure longtime listeners are familiar. It's a favorite one to play when Mark has some issues with recent changes to canon, and we have a fun discussion. But I think what we need to add just to kind of set the mood is Pachelbel's canon and D every time there's a canonical issue, and just play in the background. Do 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 do. Okay, all right. Oh my goodness, I'm tired. I've been up since 5 o'clock, and it's now 10:30, and that was 5 o'clock Central, and I'm in Eastern time now. Anyway, so I'm gonna power through. I'm just realizing that I look at my timer, and we are almost an hour in. We've been having so much fun.
Yeah.
Aaron, you have a very charitable wife, and we thank her for her support and not killing us.
And it was a lot of fun recording too. We came onto this and we're like, oh, we're tired. Let's just do a short show.
Yeah,
let's
we're just gonna do half
minutes.
An hour. We're going to be fine.
Never
happens. Let's cover some celebration stuff. We'll be good. So, okay, but also at the end of the day, we have Unlearn What You've Learned, Storytelling in an Evolving Galaxy. It looks quite interesting. I see you have that highlighted, Aaron. And then
Dave Filoni and Pablo Hidalgo are doing that one, and that should be pretty interesting because of the fact that there's so much discussion about the Clone Wars and conflicting with existing storytelling and things like that. So it should be interesting to hear from Dave Filoni's mouth, you know, kind of his insight on that with someone like Pablo Hidalgo, mm-hmm. who is, you know, heavily involved in the books and things like that. So
yes, that is very interesting.
That's a good duo, I think, to have that kind of discussion. I'll tell you what, that's tempting. But also for me personally, I have not had the opportunity to see Talking to Myself, James Arnold Taylor's thing. That's also very tempting, as he's doing a back to back Talking to Myself with James Arnold Taylor and a date with the Princess Carrie Fisher. Excellent. And Official Picks presents the C6 Night at Hard Rock Live. What is this? I have not even seen this yet.
This is the Saturday party. Pretty much every day, every night has a party by one of the bigger groups. But this is Official Picks is putting on a party over at the Hard Rock Cafe down at Universal Downtown, I guess. I'm not sure. I think it's called Universal City Walk. Mm-hmm. But the Hard Rock Cafe there, they're having a big party. From what I heard, I believe the admission is free as long as you order your tickets in advance. If you wait until you get down there to get your tickets, there is a cost to get in. But
I should ask.
I went ahead and ordered a couple just in case.
I need to. You'll have to hook us up, find a link, and maybe we'll throw that in the show notes because this is me. This is the point where I realize just how out of it I've been.
Both of us have been gone.
But that's
so
also
much.
The night of the screening of episodes 5 and 6.
Mm. It is, yeah.
Interesting. Might have to catch the beginning of Empire because that starts a bit before. Although, granted, wait, there's the James. This is not fair. Okay, all right, fine. Be that way. Schedule. All right, Sunday, the quiet day. We have, of course, that morning.
As far as experience goes, do you think from everything that both of you have heard that Saturday is typically the busiest and best day of a lot of conventions?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the day that they know everyone can come. Nobody has to work. So that's the day that they, you know, usually is. It's going to definitely be the busiest. There'll be the most people there, and usually that's when they'll have kind of the bigger panels.
Yeah. Yeah, and that Carrie Fisher panel is definitely going to be fun. Also, of course, Sunday morning, 521 Ministries, Steve Glosson, I would definitely want to throw out another mention, is doing a celebration of worship, which is a special service during Celebration 6. And this is, of course, Sunday morning at the Rosen Plaza Hotel, where we will be gathering. I believe it was 8:30, if I'm remembering my time correct. Doors open at 8, and it starts at 8:30. It ends at 9:30, which is plenty of time to get back to the convention. James Arnold Taylor is a special guest, and he'll be talking about his faith and his testimony, kind of an interesting, different side. So if that's up your alley, if that's something you're interested in, I know Bethany and I will be there. I think you'll be there too, Aaron?
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. I'll definitely be there.
Yeah, so it's going
to
be
looking forward to seeing that.
A different spin on it for you people of faith, or if you're interested in just kind of catching a different way or something maybe a little bit more relaxing. I know you're usually exhausted by that time, so it'll be a nice way. And Steve Glosson will be speaking. He's an awesome speaker, and I like to highly recommend that you guys check out his 521 podcast, which he just started, which is more of a podcast of faith. But what I want you guys to do is check out the most recent episode, which as of this recording is episode 3, where he actually interviews James Arnold Taylor. Fantastic interview. I've heard a lot of interviews with this man, and he talks a lot about Star Wars. So what was it like being the voice of the iconic Obi-Wan Kenobi?
You're like,
so what was it like being the voice of... I actually, in interviews, have poked fun at other interviewers because I'll ask those canned questions, and
you can see the glazed over expression.
Especially not the fan sites, but when the national people do it, and you see CNN try to interview, CNN tries to interview the new cast of Star Trek, and they ask, "So what was it like being Kirk?" And then MTV interviews, "So what was it like being the new Kirk?" You know, you guys get the idea. But
yeah.
But this was a whole different look at James Arnold Taylor's career and how he approaches it. And they do talk about his role in Star Wars and what that's like. And there will be a little bit more of that at the Celebration of Worship. So show up, definitely. You're invited. Bethany and I will be there, and we'll be heavily we're involved as we can, and we're trying to get the word out to as many people who are interested as possible. But also, okay, and continuing
another side note, one thing you'll notice, courtesy of TheForce.net for pointing this out specifically, Mike Barrick wrote something up about this, but the Old Republic is not in any panels at Celebration 6.
Oh, wow.
They sent out, according to a forum post by an online community manager, they said, "Folks, I wanted to follow up a bit regarding celebrations. We do apologize for any inconvenience, but our dev team is hard at work on the game, and we just couldn't spare the staff. We just completed Comic-Con and are preparing to attend Games-Con in Germany next week. Stay tuned for updates about future events."
Wow, but, so yeah. They can go to Germany, but they can't go to Florida.
Yeah, that's and to a specific Star Wars convention.
Boo.
Well, to me, it's just odd because this is a Star Wars specific convention. That's a
there are only probably 30,000 people, you know, who might be interested. Yeah, that is not.
And while yes, there are more people at say Dragon Con, and definitely a lot more people at Comic Con. They're not all hardcore Star Wars fans. Almost everyone going to this convention, it's a Star Wars convention.
Although, frankly, looking at it another way, this really just proves the market for the Old Republic is not really Star Wars fans, or at least what we think of as Star Wars fans. You know, everybody's definition is different, but the people going to Celebration are the Clone Wars fans, the film fans, comics, the book fans, and that gaming market, I just don't think really is attending Celebration. They're attending Comic-Con and PAX East and all the other stuff that I can't remember all the names of. Sunday, so also you have the new Star Wars comic series at Dark Horse panel, where it sounds like they're unveiling something new. They also have a Clone Wars panel at that time. And the infamous Why We Love the Prequels, the grand return.
That's such a fun panel.
I want to see this one. I missed most of it last time, and I heard good things about Kyle Newman's epicness.
Well, we caught the end bit, though.
We did.
I think we caught about 20 minutes in the end. What we saw, that was a really fun panel. That was just an awesome panel.
Yeah, you have 2,000 people filling up a room, it seems like. I know that. Well, actually, the room probably seated about 1,200, 1,500. There was the Chapin Theater is what seats the 2,000 plus. But anyway, it's a packed standing room only talking about the prequels. As a child of the 90s, and someone who grew up on the prequels, that's definitely nice to see them get their dues outside of the vast, treacherous, and poisonous well of iniquity that is the internet.
just a wee bit jaded now, are we?
Just a little. Miscreants.
Tracy Duncan would be proud.
Miscreants. I just realized I'm jumping into the old English again. All right. They also have Warwick Davis, The Return of the Ewok, and another live Force Cast show. That's at 11:30. And again, we're just highlighting some different things. Ooh, 1:30. Sam Witwer, The Maul Within.
Yay, he'll finally be at a Celebration. That is cool.
Yeah.
Sam Witwer, again, this guy, someone we've met, someone we've talked to personally, he is awesome.
Yes, he is.
He's a lot of fun. Talk to him if you can. Meet him if you can. You will enjoy it.
Yeah.
He was just at Philly Comic-Con this summer, so I was able to see him there. And yeah, he does a great panel. And the only bad thing about this panel, though, is if you stay for the whole thing, you might miss the closing ceremony because I don't know how long that line is going to be, but if you try to get into the closing ceremonies right at 2:30, you might miss it.
I'm pretty sure because Sunday really usually tapers down. So I'm hoping that it's only going to be the hardcore people who are still interested.
But they're promising us some stuff at this closing ceremonies. They're really hyping it up like it's a must-see event, and there's supposed to be some surprises. And so I could definitely see it well attended.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting.
I'm very curious, too, as to what they're actually bringing to this panel. Very curious because of the hype they've been building up for it.
Yeah. So I just wanted to briefly touch on Why We Love the Prequels is moderated once again by Brian Young of Big Shiny Robot. Had the pleasure of talking to him at Dragon Con last year, and that was pretty cool. Might have to swing an interview. That would be cool. Also, Where was it? On the I'm looking for the on the official. Yeah, Sam Wentworth, The Mall Within and Closing Ceremonies. The official descriptions talk about. Here we go. Sam Witwer, The Mall Within, is basically him. Well, it's basically just a short biography, is what it is. He talks about it, his role as the apprentice in Force Unleashed and Force Unleashed 2, as well as the Clone Wars. So that's basically all he'll talk. It's probably just mostly Q&A, but he has a great stage presence.
And he really does love Star Wars. He knows so much about it.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he could beat both of us in a trivia game. Riley and I are notoriously bad at trivia, but still, even with two of us playing against him, I still guarantee he could beat us.
Yeah, listen to the Sarlacc Pit. That's probably one of my greatest shame moments of all Star Wars podcasting, was when I was annihilated. I kid you not, I was destroyed. The very depth of my humanity was compromised as I wallowed in the sorrow. Miscreants. Okay.
All right. Oh goodness.
This is where the show's about to end.
I bet
guys.
You anything we've run over time.
Yeah, well, yeah, we've run over what we usually do in our hour, but that's basically it. We've got the closing ceremony, which the official website doesn't mention anything, but the announcement did about they had some kind of special surprise. So I'll definitely try to be there. As well as The Mall Within. And I'll tell you what, Aaron, thank you so much for putting together this awesome thing that we were able to go through. The Google Doc, the technological wizardry.
No problem. It wasn't my idea. I'll say that. Somebody else showed me the template for this schedule type thing, but I did type it all in there. And
nicely done. So nicely done, sir. We will definitely do this.
Yes,
and is it possible to make these... public or maybe a screenshot once we get it all polished up? That might be something we could do as well. And
you can make these Google Docs public. Yes, yeah, you just send a link, or you could put out a link that people could go to.
I like it. Maybe we'll have to figure that out off air, because I've been doing way too much flying by the seat of my pants and figuring stuff out on the air. But guys, you know what? I think that's going to about wrap up this episode of the Star Wars Report. Episode 51 in the can.
What should we name this one? Something to do with celebration.
You know what I think?
Conflicting schedules.
Celebration of miscreants. Celebration of miscreants. I think we have a title. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to episode 51 of the Star Wars Report. It's over. We've got one more episode to record. One more. And Celebration 6 hits us. Or we hit it, one or the other. Something's hitting something. That's what I know.
And then Dragon Con hits us.
Miscreants. That's what I'm just saying. Thanks, you guys, so much for listening. You can follow us up. Follow up on this. Find us on StarWarsReport.com. Episode 14, wasn't it, Bethany, if I remember right? Off the top of my head, that was what we mentioned, some of the old Dragon Con stuff. But I'm in the convention mood. It's been a long and challenging summer. I've done some of the hardest things I've ever done, most challenging things, but also in terms of Star Wars, some really cool things have happened as well. So I'm looking forward to kind of taking a break. Celebration's my vacation time before you get back into the swing of life and school and work and all those fun stuff that we all do and hear the old Mary Kay. But thanks for listening. Find us on Twitter and Facebook, just Star Wars Report. That's the easy way to do it. And once we figure out this Google Doc thing, we'll see if we can find either. I know there are probably some people already doing it. We might have to join another group's Google Doc and just find the most people who will be at the most places and figure out who's going where. But network with us. Email us if you're going to Celebration. We'd love to meet you. We're already working out meeting a bunch of people, including you, Aaron. Can't wait for it. What time do you get in Wednesday? You get in Wednesday, correct?
Yeah, very early in the morning, actually. I get in at 9:30 a.m., so I will
What are you
going to
do with yourself?
I'll find stuff to do.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
It's Disney World, man.
Yeah, we'll be driving down from Atlanta, so we'll probably be there early afternoon, I imagine.
Yep.
As long as we get a nice early start.
Yeah, then we're going to meet up with William and Steven.
Oh, yes, the We Talk Clones guys. Oh, yeah. Plug, I just saw them on Facebook. They had recently just now did an interview with Brent Friedman, one of the writers over at Clone Wars. And awesome. I'll have to throw a link to that in the show notes. But yeah, that's going to do it for this episode. Am I forgetting anything, Bethany? I know I am because I don't have the show notes in front of me, but I'll just have to live with my shame.
Farewell, and may the Force be with you.
And remember, many Bothans died to kill all those miscreants. I don't know if that was overused or not.
Just a wee bit.
May have it three or four times too much. Who knows?
It wasn't until that last one.
The last one. The one too many, I'm sure. All right, guys, thanks for listening to this episode. We'll see you next time. And see you at Celebration 6. Yeah! We don't have the R2 unit. We miss you, Mark.